8:33 the time, 27 minutes before 9 o'clock. One of those songs that faked me out on the wrong ending there, but this. We, on Thursdays, welcome our mayor into the house, Mayor Sue Kemp, who today, I understand, is celebrating a birthday. So, welcome in for the conversation this morning, the mayor, Sue Kemp. Hey, Sue, how are you?
Ed, you are too funny. I'm good. I'm just getting started today. So, yeah, I think it's going to be clear sailing today, hopefully.
A very happy birthday to you, first of all. And I hope you've set aside some time to celebrate the birthday. And it's not just going to be a work day all day for you.
No, I'm going to go for a nice long walk. I think I'm going to get a massage because I've had a stiff neck for a week. I'm tired of it.
Oh, yeah.
so I'm going to do that. Dinner with some friends and have a nice low-key, you know, not a lot of work today kind of day.
Excellent. We'll enjoy it. We'll be thinking about you all day. And by the way, you say you have a sore neck. My entire body right now is being held together by icy hot patches. I'm at that point where, you know, you put on socks, I got to put on an icy hot patch. You put on whatever. So yeah, I get it. I know where you're at. We've been all I'm sorry. Go ahead. You were going to say something.
That's part of your daily attire now.
It is. I swear. It's like, you know what? Hey, that patch matches your shirt, Ed. Well, thank you.
Nice patch, Ed.
all week long, and really for the last few weeks, we've been covering what's been happening overseas. And I mentioned to the audience, not just yesterday, but this morning, that it's not just local items that you're well versed on. You are well versed on everything, really. And internationally and nationally, we can talk to you about anything. So I'm really curious, as you are watching events unfold in the Ukraine, what are your thoughts? And do you, like some of the rest of us, try and imagine what that might look like here?
Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, an ongoing horrific scene over there. I was just watching this morning, and they showed a map, and they showed how many people have fled to different countries. It's just amazing how many people have left. And actually, I noted that 70,000 people went into Russia. And I thought, you know, I wonder where they're going, what kind of reception they're getting. And I wonder if they're spreading the word, because, you know, apparently it's some kind of, you know, news blackout in Russia.
Right.
And, you know, he's managing to control everything. It's a horrible situation. I mean, there's a woman here named Nadia. The Abels contacted me, and she is a refugee here. She has a child, and she has nothing. So we're going to try to raise some money for her. But, you know, you can only imagine. I mean, I think this is a bit of a wheel alignment for the world now, that, you know, these people who want to come into power and can be autocratic and control everything doesn't work for people.
Right.
And, you know, they might come on, they might start off as okay, but, you know, they're going to go over the edge. These people, that they're egomaniacal, and this is the way they operate, you know, they can't be trusted.
Right.
And they don't care about people. And it's very, very evident.
Right.
So I don't know how we're going to get ourselves, how they're going to get out of it. I don't know what Russia expects to get by bombing the daylights out of the Ukraine and then wanting to occupy it. Who's going to want to be occupied over there in a country full of rubble? Right. And they don't have the money to put it together. It's just an appalling situation.
Right. They initially bit off more than they can chew, and now they're making up that stagger by being more horrendous in their attacks of hospitals and facilities that house women and children. Yeah. Leaders within the Ukraine talk, I saw the mayor of Kyiv speaking yesterday morning, and I thought to myself, well, my goodness, what would those responsibilities be like here? I mean, what would you mobilize first? And I know that we have a much, much different situation here in the United States, but do you put yourself in those positions sometimes as you're watching this?
I can't even think that way.
Right.
I mean, what I think about that in our country is, you know, we better protect our democracy and we better stay strong, because we never want to be like that or have that happen to us. We need to just, you know, we need to knuckle down here and start being more cognizant of what happens in our own country.
Well put.
Because you get a person like that in power and then you get a bunch of people who some in the beginning think it's okay, and then it turns on them. So we just need to be careful. You know, as a mayor of a small town, I mean, I would think, you know, we would call in all the available resources we have. We have our police, we have our fire, anybody who served in the military. We'd probably have a giant recruiting effort here, just like they're doing in the Ukraine. Everybody, you know, they're lining up their old vodka bottles and making Molotov cocktails. I mean, what else are you going to do?
Right.
So right. People get resourceful when they have to, and unfortunately, they're having to do that.
Right. Aptly put about protecting our democracy, by the way. What we're seeing is some cities across the United States adopting Ukrainian cities as sister cities, and that allows, for instance, Los Angeles to immediately send them aid, like the used public works vehicles or trucks or tractors. Is that something that the city council might consider here on a temporary basis?
You know, I think what would be a better and more powerful thing to do is for the Orange County mayors to get together and do something as the Orange County mayors. There's 34 of us.
Right.
I think that would be more powerful for us to do. I mean, we would have, you know, little to contribute, I think, but you know, as a county, I think what we should do is we should get together and figure out if we can send resources over there in some form or fashion.
What a great idea.
You know, we did light up the main beach lifeguard tower in solidarity, and, you know, we could, you know, make a formal proclamation. We all feel the same, I think. I haven't heard anybody that goes, yeah, go Putin. I haven't heard anybody in this town say that.
Right.
And nobody's going to, right? So I don't know about that, but I think if I have a mayor's call every other week, and that would be a good topic for us to discuss, because I think, you know, knowing what I do know about the mayors now, they might be game for something like that. I mean, that'd be my idea, but
excellent.
We'll see.
Excellent. Well, I'll look back. I'll circle back to you in a week or two about that, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Are we expecting the county's report on the Emerald Fire anytime soon, or have we already gotten it? And have we focused on additional fire mitigation along the hillsides?
I just lost you for a second.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. I asked if we were expecting the county's report on the Emerald Fire, and if since the Emerald Fire, if we focused additional fire mitigation along those particular hillsides.
Oh, right. So we haven't heard back from the county. I'm kind of surprised because we expected to hear back from them at the end of last week. So I don't know, you know, what's holding them up, if they still have to put the finishing touches on their investigation or what. We expected to hear, but I think we will hear soon. You know, we had a big win yesterday at the California Coastal Commission. We have fuel modification zones all over the town. These are areas that our open space back up to the community, back up to homes. And what we do is we go into those areas. We have to get a coastal development permit from the California Coastal Commission. And we go into those areas and we clear out fuel. And we do it very meticulously. The Laguna Canyon Foundation, we subcontract with them. They go in and they do the mitigation, and they do, it's basically hand crews mostly.
Right.
And they go in and make sure that we're not disturbing, sensitive habitat. But they do the work for us. So yesterday, we had mods 10 and 11 go before the Coastal Commission. 10 is above Gelson, so the homes back behind Gelson's that back up to the wildland interface there.
Right.
And then also at the very top of Nye's, we had fill mod zone 11. And so both of those cleared the California Coastal Commission unanimously. We've had in the past, you know, some difficulty getting those through, and it actually takes a really long time.
Right.
So we pushed that through, and they didn't hesitate. It was really great, because in the past, it's taken a long time, and it's very important to us now. We just had that fire a few weeks ago. We got lucky there.
Right.
And we don't want to rely on luck. We want to try to rely on things that we can control to the best of our ability, and that's one of them.
Excellent. That is a big win. Anytime you get a unanimous vote from the California Coastal Commission, that's like a trophy on the shelf. That's a big win.
Yeah, that was great. We also got another win yesterday because we had the Pacific Edge Hotel in front of them, and, you know, it's just basically a, you know, substantial remodel job,
right.
And they approved that unanimously too. So we're doing pretty well with the Coastal Commission staff now and the Coastal Commissioners as well. I've been testifying on all these issues, and they listen. And so, you know, I'm feeling like, you know, we're in a better position with Coastal, but I'm really happy about those fuel mod zones yesterday. That was a huge win.
Excellent, Mayor Kemp, and thank you for your hard work on that. This past Tuesday, there was a service to honor the life and the service of Officer Nick Vella, who is a former Laguna Beach police officer turned Huntington Beach police helicopter pilot. With that service, something came to mind where you the council had approved a statue, a work of art that will honor the legacy of a couple of different officers, and there's room for more plaques. My understanding is the textured part of the form contains separate glass panels. Honor and courage and duty are on it, but there's room for additional plaques. Are we considering adding Officer Vella's name to that installation?
Well, you know, certainly we're going to let the police department tell us what they would like to have. You know, I think it's important that it comes from them, and whatever they would like to do, I'm certainly supportive. I went to the service for Officer Vella, and as did City Manager Sheree Dupuy and George Weiss. Councilmember Weiss went as well, and it was an extremely moving ceremony. It was a beautifully done ceremony, and a lot of our police officers were there, which was good, very solemn. But there were police officers from everywhere. I don't know how many people there were in there, but there was probably, 7,000 or 8,000 people.
Wow.
And, you know, the parents, John and Marcy Vella, live in town here. And they're wonderful people. And their son, John, spoke. And John Vella, senior John Vella, spoke. And we had, you know, Carl St. Clair is... it lives in town here, so he did all the music. And, you know, for such a sad event, it was just so, so beautifully done. The speakers were great. And if you've ever been to a police funeral before, and I've been to a few of them, unfortunately. There's no solidarity like a police funeral.
Right.
There's nothing more moving than that.
Their family. So, he had 7,000 family members there, is what happened.
He did. It was a very emotional tribute to him. We just have to, do whatever the department would like us to do in terms of honoring him. I'm all for that.
Okay, excellent. I'm going to turn to March, and March being Women's History Month for just a moment. You are an influential woman here in town. You're of substance, to be sure. Can you tell us some women that have inspired you and who might continue to inspire you today?
Well, you know, when I was young, one of my inspirational role models was Billie Jean King, because I was an athlete.
Right.
And I remember when she played Bobby Riggs, which I thought was the, I mean, I'm dating myself, but that was, I thought that was one of the coolest, you know, if you're young, you can watch it on YouTube. I thought that was the coolest thing ever, that she got out there and not only played him, but beat him.
Right.
You know, so there was that. And then I had, you know, like some teachers when I was in high school that were kind of ahead of their time. One of them was an English teacher of mine, and she was also my tennis coach. So she had kind of like, in my mind, she got double admiration because she was my coach plus a really good teacher.
Right.
And I had a couple other teachers like that, some people who coached me over my years, and then people in business. And some of these people were people that worked for me in some of these companies that I was running or organizations I was running that were just extraordinarily capable and really inspiring to work with. And then I think, you know, of course, Ruth Bader Ginsburg and some of the prominent women of our time,
right,
certainly, and some of our leaders in the country that, you know, are putting themselves on the line that you don't really see very often, but do a lot of work. We have a lot of women in our community who work hard for other women. So, you know, we're everywhere now. There's a lot of inspirational women now. It's easy to find them.
Yeah, right. It is. And you're one of them, by the way. You mentioned Billie Jean King, and I find it curious that she was a social justice warrior. Back in the 70s, early, she was a social justice warrior who fought for the rights for women. And right now, if all these years later, do you get the impression that women are taking one step forward and two steps back with the rights being denied and pulled away?
Well, yes. And, you know, I find it amazing to me that we're 50% of the population and we still get this nonsense.
Right.
I mean, it's really... hard to swallow in some ways, but then I also feel hopeful. I look around, hey, we have a female city manager here in our town. You know, we have a female mayor. So, you know, that way I think it's somewhat better, but you just have to be on guard all the time. That's what I don't like. Like, what are you guys going to try to pull on us next?
Right, exactly.
You know, so that's really the problem. I mean, you feel like you're moving along pretty well and things are getting better over time. You see more and more women stepping into CEO roles, which I love. Right. And I would like to see more women in, you know, leading government, because I think some women are more mellow than men sometimes, you know, but
Just simply better qualified in many cases, simply just better qualified for the position.
Well, yeah, there's that too. I mean, I think women that do well are also very qualified. But yeah, you're always looking in the newspaper or watching the news and thinking, why is that woman being discriminated against? For what reason? You know, you hear all this broad discrimination in the country about, you know, for all kinds of people, race, you know, sexual orientation, you know, religion. And it just gets so old. Right. You got to be kidding me. In 2022, we're still doing this.
Right.
And it gets, you can't get tired of fighting them, because if you don't fight, you don't win.
Exactly. Exactly. Is that something that you would tell a seventh or eighth grade little Sue Kemp right now? Or what do you say to inspire a seventh or eighth grade little girl right now?
Well, you know, what I would say, and this is if I had children, which I don't, but this is what I would say, is that, you know, just be your best. Whatever you do, or whatever you like to do, whatever you're inspired to do, do it to the very best of your ability. Because if you're really good at something, that is something that nobody can take away from you. And your reputation is all your own, and you can make your own reputation in life. And people might, you know, pick on you or present some problem to you in your lifetime, but you can go around those people because you're good. And this, you're also confident. So if you get, when you're good at something, you know this, Ed, very well, like in sports, if you're good at something, you're also confident. And that's what I would say is women have to be better, really have to strive to be better all the time. And we have to work a little bit harder. And that's not a bad thing. I think from a personal development point of view, that kind of rounds you out and orients you in a way that as you encounter problems in the world, you're equipped to do that, and you have good skill sets. You just work, you know, you just work at, like you would work at a sport, like you go to practice, you just work on your own personal development. You know, be kind to others, work hard, be someone that someone likes to work with and seeks you out, be confident, always be ethical. Those things will serve you well. And I think you can only, in this world, you can only control what you do. So just try to do your best. And then when some of these issues that come up that, you know, put women in the back seat, then you have to get out there and you have to fight.
Beautiful words, wonderfully spoken. Mayor Sue Kemp, thank you so much for this conversation today. I really, really appreciate you being here.
That was fun today. It's always fun talking to you, Ed.
It's a blast talking to you. Enjoy your birthday, okay?
I'm going to.
All right, we'll celebrate with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ed.
That's Sue Kemp, our mayor. 8:52 the time on The Mornings with Ed Show.